Run, Build, Grow, the podcast that laces up its running shoes and dives deep into the heartbeat of the communal spirit of running. I'm your host, Andrew Ware, the Runnin' Rev, and I'm thrilled to take you on this exhilarating journey where we explore stories that go beyond the pavement. In this week's episode, I am joined by Ashley Van Luzen. We are going back to Texas this week. Many of you all will remember that just amazing fun-filled episode with Paisley Landry not too long ago. Ashley is one of her good friends. In fact, we talk a little bit about Paisley in this episode and the impact that Paisley has had on her. But seeing the community that is down there in Austin, I just love to be able to get folks to come in and talk about their experiences. So you're going to hear a lot about Ashley in this episode. You're going to hear a lot about her journey, but also the struggles that she has had, where she has been, and where she's going. And, you know, we talk a little bit about it, but she has got some amazing things coming up in the very near future. So I'm not going to announce it. I'm going to let Ashley talk about it. So let's dive into this conversation. All right. Welcome in, everybody. Today, we are welcoming Ashley Van Luzen. Welcome in today, Ashley. How you doing?
I am good. Thank you for asking. How are you?
I'm doing well. Ashley joins us again from Texas. She's part of this Austin, Texas crew that it's been fun to get to know. So before we get started, though, we hear you're from Austin, Texas. But Ashley, what is your community and what makes your community awesome?
I feel like I am blessed, and that's like such a basic term to say. But Austin is unreal. The running and athletic community in the city is incredible. And not only is it just a running community, but it's a sense of like growth and togetherness here. I have never experienced something so welcoming. I feel like there's a lot more to that, but that's like the basic gist of it.
Well, yeah. And, you know, you just said before we started recording, you talked about, you know, celebrating your birthday and just all the folks from the running community who are there. So what's it like coming into a running community but being a part of a running community and having that support, having all of those folks who are a part of your journey, who are invested in you, who are there for you, not just on the run, but beyond the run?
To be honest with you, like last night was, and I already told you, like today is such a great day to do this because I was so overwhelmed with the amount of joy I felt spending with those people yesterday. The community here, and I think running as a whole, is a different type of breed. And I feel like we are very similar in personality styles. We're all trying to better ourselves, and being surrounded by, you know, 9 of my closest friends that I've made through running, over the past 2 years, I don't really even have words for it. I felt undeserving of the amount of love and support that I received yesterday. And I get that every day with the people that I run with here. And, you know, we talk about, you know, we're in such like a heavy time period here, especially like country and around the world. And you see so much negativity. And honestly, when we talk about like social media, I only stay on my running social media because it is always so joyful. And it's like that all the time. And obviously there are always like times where we're not feeling good and we have things going on in our lives. And, you know, a lot of my friends are parents. And so we talk about those stressors, but most of the time, like we are always experiencing so much joy because we're out there together, finding the time to have movement. I think that answered your question. I don't know. Sometimes I go off on a tangent.
No, that's great because I think it continues to remind us the importance of having that community around us. And it looks like from your journey that sort of that nature of community is something that's really defined, you know, who you are as a runner today. And, you know, diving into your journey a little bit, what's that been like? Because you're someone who, you know, like you mentioned in some of the pre-interview stuff, you know, you were a part of running as
a youth, as a kid, and then you rediscovered it as you were older. So let's go back. You know, what was that like running when you were a kid? And then walk us through kind of, you know, I don't know whether it's a gap or what it looks like, but then the coming back to running, what's that look like? What did that look like for you?
Yeah. So the long story is that I have an older brother. He's 4 years older than me. And I looked up to him growing up, and he ran track and cross country. And so when I went to middle school, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to do track and cross country. And so I ran through middle school, through high school. And then in college, I went to the University of Texas, so hook 'em. But I did not really run until I think my run again until my junior year with my roommate. We signed up for the Cap 10K and we did everything wrong. Everything that I've learned the past few years, back then we did everything wrong. And that kind of sparked running again for me. After that, I ran my first marathon, the Houston Marathon, in 2010. And then I ran three more marathons. I did Houston again, San Antonio once, and then Austin. And then it kind of fell off a little bit. I went to grad school. I moved back to Austin. I started a job, and you know, running was here and there. And then I had my two kids. I had my boys. I actually ran a half marathon when I was pregnant with my first, but just for fun. And again, probably doing everything wrong from what I've learned the past 2 years. And then in 2022, I just found my love for running. And my husband bought me a Garmin for my birthday. So almost exactly 2 years ago is when I got back into the running. And I don't know what it was. I like felt the thrill of it again. And I ended up somehow managing to get into the London Marathon, not knowing anything about world majors at that point. And I joined a group here called Gilbert's Gazelles, and everything snowballed after that. So yeah, that's my beginner's running story.
And, you know, it seems like throughout the entire time, it is often we see it as the things that life throws at us or the things that kind of are in our lives determine how connected to running we are or how connected to running we can be. You know, I think I have a similar story where loved running in school, ran in middle school, ran in high school, got away from it in college, primarily just because it wasn't happening at my college. I did not have the joys of going to a D1 school. But then through injury and all these things, and then rediscovering it. So what's it been like for you in those times where maybe running wasn't as big a part of your life? Did you feel like you were missing it? Was it a yearning to do it? We hear that your husband is kind of the one who reignited the fire for you. But, you know, during those times when you weren't necessarily actively running, not to say that you probably weren't doing it every so often, but what did life look like for you?
I was missing like a drive for something, if that makes sense. Like, I have always been pretty like physically active. You know, I went through like a class phase where I was doing like all the spin classes and Pilates and all of that. But I wasn't ever like working towards a goal other than to just be healthy. You know, I'm a physician assistant in my real job. and so, you know, health is a big part of my life. And I think it's very important to practice what I preach. And so I just didn't have something that I was working towards, like a goal. And when I had the goal of running a marathon, you know, initially it was just finishing it. And then once I finished it, I finished that marathon, you know, London Marathon in 2023, 22 minutes faster than my best marathon time in my 20s. And that was like, it like blew my mind that, you know, at 30, how old was I? 34? 35. You know, at 35 or 34, however old I was, after having two kids, you know, I was faster. And it was because I was actually, like, you know, really as an adult taking care of my body, and I had others pushing me. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever gone through this experience of, like, almost imposter syndrome, where I've grown in my life thinking that I'm, you know, below average in running, and never thinking that I could be fast. You know, Boston has always been, like, something where, like, maybe I'll qualify when I'm 50. And to, like, realize that as a mom of two kids and who works, and to come to that realization that, hey, you can actually really do hard things, and you're faster than you think. And, so yeah.
And, you know, it's even more interesting to think about. You know, I just got done reading Lauren Fleshman's book, which, you know, is almost eye-opening as we kind of learn how, you know, especially for females, how their bodies adapt and how they come into running. And to hear that it's more of the joy that you're finding later in life as a runner, is also the time where we find, when we're adults, it's harder to make friends. That there's an intentionality of community. And so not only are you kind of coming into this phase of life where you are finding yourself stronger, more powerful, whatever adverbs, I don't know, I'm not an English person, you might use to describe your running, but you're also maybe finding yourself in some place where, okay, well, also, who's around me? Who's supporting me? You know, it's awesome having supportive spouses. Even, you know, I don't know how old your kids are. Sometimes it's nice to have kids who will kind of get joyous and steal your medals when you get home. But what was it like for you to then find community in this space? Were you looking for running community? Were you just looking for community? You know, what does that look like as you're growing up, as you're coming into this new place, and you're getting re-involved in this sort of movement?
It's funny you say that it's hard to make friends as an adult. And I agree with that, with the exception of what we're involved with now. Like, I have made friends so easily in the running community because everybody's so nice, and everybody is, you know, like, and I think, you know, as we become adults and we move on from college and we have kids and we get new jobs and we move to different places, you know, your group of friends can change. And obviously, like, those core sets of friends are still, like, your very close friends, but you go off and you can do other things. Mm-hmm. And when I started in this running space, you know, you're spending hours with these people, right? And I remember after my first 18-mile run for London Marathon Prep, I was with three of my friends, and we were like, oh, well, let's go celebrate and let's go get brunch. And my husband came, and we just start talking. And then he's like, wow, you guys know, like, everything about each other. Like, what do y'all not know? And I'm like, well, you have to say, like, we're running, like, you know, 40 miles together every week. Like, we've got to talk about everything. And it's just a testament to, like, who we are as runners to be so welcoming. And I don't think that Austin is an exception. I feel like that, obviously, I think we're spoiled in the sense that we're an active community here, but I think most places where there are runners in that community, like, I think everybody is going to be kind and welcoming. At least that's what I've experienced, you know, running in Houston and Austin and even in New York City. You know, I have a virtual coach in New York City, and I've connected with some of the runners that trained with her. And it's like, we've been friends for a while. Like, we text and we, like, send each other care packages. You know, it's just it's a really special thing. I don't know if that answered your question either, but.
No, I keep on feeling like this impact that community has on us is how it lifts our spirit, how it makes us better runners, how it makes us feel more connected to the sport that we love so much. And I think that listeners can hear the joy that you have for the sport, but that that's not built on solely on your own efforts, right? But it's the people who are around you who are making it worth it. And I think the 20-mile run, you know, the quintessential 20-mile run for marathoners is probably the best example. Because not only can I think of anything worse in the world than running a marathon, but training for a marathon all sounds pretty terrible as well, which is why I don't do it. But the golden rule in run coaching when it comes to training for a marathon, and a lot of people ask is, well, why do you only run 20 miles? Why don't you run the full 26.2 in a training? Because, you know, that's how you do it for 5Ks, 10Ks, even half marathons. You'll run 13 miles most likely at some point in your training, not for a marathon. And it's because in coaching, we've realized that like the body doesn't understand miles, it understands time. And so if you're, you know, if your goal is say like a 4-hour marathon, then going out and running 4 hours is kind of what you need to do. And again, to me, going out and running 4 hours sounds like torture. And so you would think you would want community with you along for that journey. And so it's like, what is that shared experience when you're on that 20-mile run? I mean, what do you, there's so much to it of what are you talking about? How are you, you know, supporting one another? How are you listening to one another? How are you listening to yourself on sort of on these runs, whether it's 10 miles, 20 miles, you know, 4 miles, you know, what do those regular runs look like? You talk about being in conversation with one another, but there's got to be more to it. What else is going into that time?
So perfect timing again. I just had my 20-mile run last Sunday. And I will tell you, like, I had to push it back because we had like this big like relay race on Friday here in Austin. And so my typical Saturday long run got pushed back to Sunday. And my friends knew this, my friends that aren't running the same marathon as me, that some of them aren't even marathon training. Mm-hmm. They rallied behind me and they jumped in and we did, this is going to sound terrible for you if you can't even fathom running 4 hours, but we did 6 3.5-mile loops.
Oh my gosh.
And nope, I will tell nope. you, and we talked about this yesterday, the time flew by. It was 20 yeah. miles, but it did not seem like it had taken the amount of time it took to run 20 miles. And it's because, you know, the three girls that were with me, you know, the first one we warmed up together and we were just talking about, oh, you know, this is going to be a big run today, but we're going to get through it. And as we slowly ease into those warm-up miles, it's like you just evolve into conversation and you talk about what's mm-hmm. on and you talk about the struggles that you're going through with the week. And then I had two other girls join me when I had pace work. And so they hopped in around 7 miles and it's just like, okay, hey, we're doing this. You can do this. You have trained for this. And it's like constant reminders of like what we've been through together. And, you know, they're telling me this because, you know, running and especially marathoning and in those last 6 miles that you're talking about where we don't train for that is all mental. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like I'm so spoiled that my friends have realized that that's where I struggle. And so mm-hmm. they are always trying to like prep me mm-hmm. for that mental part. So they're like, keep your head in it, you know, and they'll talk me through those pace miles. And I that 20-mile run was like one of the best runs that I've had this training cycle. And this has been the best training cycle I've ever had. So
very nice.
And I credit that, you know, obviously towards myself, but mostly to like my friends and my coach, because they have helped get me here, if that makes sense. But to answer your question, you know, we evolve into just talking about whatever comes on. We don't run with headphones. None of us listen to music. And yeah. And so I had the best run last weekend. And then the weekend before that, I had the absolute worst run to where I was like, well, I'm not going to meet my goal in Berlin. This is going to be terrible. I don't know what's happened. I can't run. You know, I became tearful. And again, those same girls surrounded me with love and they're like, hey, like, get your head out of this. Like, this one bad run. You have to have one bad run for the training cycle. Like, let's not forget all that you've come through to get here. So yeah, I mean, so to answer we talk about everything. We don't listen to music and we encourage each other. And, you know, growing up as a girl, you have a lot of times where women don't support each other, or girls don't support each other. And I will tell you, I have never experienced that since I've made these friends in running. Every single one of my friends has been supportive. We've motivated each other. There's been no jealousy or like envy, at least that I've felt, you know. It's just a really incredible thing.
And so you're running Berlin, right? So I mean, I could be wrong. I can't imagine probably a lot of your friends are going to be able to make it unless they're running with you. And that's not to knock your friend group at all. I mean, that's kind of a big travel for folks to make. And they're probably not just doing that out of the blue. So what of this is translating to race day? Because it sounds like for a lot of us, race day looks very different than training, whether it's a local race or it's an international race or a world major, whatever it is. You know, I can even think if I'm running here where I am, if I'm doing even like our big Shamrock weekend, for the most part, I might be by myself for the most of the race. I might get a runner. I might get a friend who meets me on the course. But, you know, how does that translate to race day? Because it's this relationship that you form and what you've gotten from it up to this point. So what are you doing on race day when the friends physically aren't next to you? What's that feeling like? And then even like, what are your friends doing? Because I can think of a lot of my friends who you know, for races, they'll try and wrap me in bubble wrap so I don't injure myself. But, you know, what are they doing to help make sure it's like, hey, Ashley, you're not alone. Just because we're not there with you physically doesn't mean you're on your own. So what's that race day mentality look like?
This is such a good question because it's something that I've actually just come to the realization last week is my very first friend that I met through running, we ran London together. We ran Chicago together. We ran Eugene together. And I texted her and I was like, what am I going to do? You're not going to be at this race. I've always counted on you to be there, like to go to the starting line with me, you know? And she's like, friend, don't worry. You got this. Like, even though I'm not physically there with you, just like you said, she'll be there, you know, with me mentally because she's going to be tracking me and she's going to be sending me encouraging texts. This kind of goes back to my birthday celebration last night. We went to dinner and my incredible friends got me gifts and all of them were like care packages to get me ready for the marathon. I mean, they're like massages and like bath soaks and like, you know, just like sweet written cards that remind me of my accomplishments and like our friendship. And so, yeah, they're not physically there, but I feel their love and support. And honestly, I'll probably bring those cards with me so I can read them before. And I know that they'll send me text messages and I know like, you know, most of them still want to get like one more run with me before I leave next Friday. So, yeah, physically not there, but I know that they'll be texting me and stuff. So.
Well, and I think, I mean, to name, you know, all those folks who have been along that journey with you, all those ladies who have, you know, shared those miles with you. I mean, I say it all the time. It's one of the, you know, goes on probably the wall of running rev sayings, but, you know, the starting line is actually the finish line. The starting line just begins the period of celebration. And the finish line really goes to show everything, all the work that has been put in to get there. Some of us just like to get there faster than others. And so, you know, I love to hear that because when we carry those people with us, we carry all that emotion, all those things that got us to that starting line. It makes us know that they're not forgotten. So, let's fast forward. I think we might need to do a post Berlin. We might need to do a recap after this. Now that we're doing this, so we got the pre Berlin friends. I'm gonna try and get Ashley. I might try and get her back on in like a month once she's completely just gotten off of Berlin. But because I'm so fascinated by this idea of carrying our community when we can't bring them with us. And my mind jumps back during the pandemic. I was doing a bunch of virtual races. And so Richmond, the one of the Richmond half marathon, which I run every fall, always or during the pandemic would allow you to run virtually. And you use this, the RaceJoy app to record it. And you started your run and it tracked your whole run. And you could like share this link with friends as you were running. And then folks would like give you shout outs along the way. And it would like play into your headphones, which I know you don't listen to music, but, so, you know, I'm wondering the mental side of that, right? You know, we're replicating a lot of that in our minds as well. So when you're at that wall, right, whether it's, you know, 18, 20, 22, 24 miles, when you're getting to that point where that marathon is getting difficult, what are some of the things that are coming to your mind? What are some of the things that you're thinking about? What are the mantras? What are the good from friends that are coming to your mind when you're doing that?
My current mantra right now is believe and breathe. And my friend Jess has said, when it gets hard, take two breaths in, one breath out, and trying to focus on something other than and running. There have been runs where I've had to do them solo. And when it gets hard in those runs, like I've done a lot of threshold runs this training cycle. Mm-hmm. And when I get to those last 2 miles, I imagine myself running towards the Brandenburg Gate. And I imagine myself thinking, okay, Ashley, this is almost like, imagine yourself at mile 26 of Berlin and pushing yourself. And that has really helped this time around. You know, I have two young boys and I had a terrible race in Eugene in the spring. And I tell you, at mile 4, I wanted to quit. I did not. And I, to run 22 miles after knowing at mile 4 that you did not want to be there. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I don't even have words for it. It was bad. But my 5-year-old, unfortunately, was born to two perfectionists. And, you know, we're putting him in all these sports and we're like, you know, hey, bud, like you really need to grow your perseverance part. Like you, when you start something, you need to follow through. And if he's doing bad, he doesn't want to finish. And so at mile 4, I was like, oh my God, I want to walk off of this race. I don't want to finish this, but what am I going to tell Graham? And I ran 22 miles solely on the fact that I knew I was going to go home and he was going to ask, where's your medal, mama? Where's your big medal for this race? And that has a lot of drive for me, showing that, especially to my two boys, that girls can do hard things too. And, you know, your parents can work hard towards goal while also loving you. And those are probably my two biggest things getting me through. Is believing that I actually am pretty fast. Like I actually can do this, getting out of my head, honing in on my breath and remembering, you know, my big why, which is, you know, showing my boys that you can work towards a goal and you can do hard things.
And so driven not only by the community that has gotten you through this whole process, but family as well. And, you know, dropping back to where it kind of restarted for you when your husband got you that Garmin. You know, are your kids gonna, is your family gonna be there with you in Berlin? And so, I mean, I don't know. I always enjoy seeing like how families get around courses. I think the Tony D'Amato whole thing of just like trying to be at so many places. I think it's like Tony and then Emily Sisson's husband, Shane, just like hearing all the funny stories of how they're like getting around these courses. But what does it look like for you to see them on the course or for you to see them as you're coming towards the finishing line? What's the lift that you get from that?
I'll be honest. I will probably cry. but I mean, you know, I think that was hard for Eugene is my husband is always on the course cheering for me. And when I see him, I get a big boost of energy and Eugene, he was running. And so he's coming to Berlin. My two boys are coming to Berlin. My mom and my stepdad are coming to Berlin. I can't imagine like the feeling, like how much joy I'm going to get when I see them, even if it's just once, you know, Yeah, I will cry. I already think about it and I will start crying.
Well, and I think, you know, listeners know, I mean, I'm not a marathoner. Like I don't have, but I can think about those like quintessential races that you have trained for so long. You know, I can think about when I came back from my knee surgeries. I can think about, you know, coming in Shamrock a couple of years ago when I had trained so hard to try and, you know, show how strong I was. You know, I think we have those quintessential races that we trained so well for. And like you said earlier, you know, this has been a good training cycle for you. Like you're not trying to hide from that fact that, I mean, like folks who know me, like Run Club friends, you will know I don't have good training cycles. I just have cycles. But all that is going into this. I think that people can see the joy that you have. What are you looking for from this race?
So I had this call with my coach and we had this conversation. You know, obviously I do have a time goal. I would love to be here for this race. But my ultimate goal coming off of such a bad race in Eugene and part of Eugene is still with me. And that is something that I'm working on now is kind of trying to get past how I felt because I keep thinking about how hard Eugene was for me. Mm. And my ultimate goal in Berlin is to truly have like a good race and not based on time, but based on how I felt about it. I want to leave Berlin and come back and say, you know, either A, I met my goal and I had the most fun time, or B, I didn't meet my goal, but I still came out of it proud and having fun. And I think that's important because especially with social media and running being so big right now, we get so caught up in our end goal. And like you said, that starting line is the end of this journey, right? Like, and I've said multiple times, I have had such a great and fun training cycle. And it's insane to say that because it has been so dang hot here. But I have, it's almost been in my eyes when I think about it, flawless, like with the exception that finally I hit taper week this week and I get sick. Perfect time to get sick. But I think a goal is to come out of it feeling more joy with running rather than feeling depleted from running, if that makes sense.
No, and I think that, you know, when we go into races, it's always a reminder that the A goal is the A goal. The B goal is the B goal. I often think that sometimes, like, you know, people with ABC goals, right? But oftentimes like that, there's that other goal of, and I tell people, I'm like, I just want to finish. And I mean, there's a lot to that. It's not that I just want to cross the finish line. It's not that I don't care about time, but it's like, I like you said, I want to finish. I want to feel good about finishing. I want, you know, you want the race to mean something, even whether it's a PR, whether it's a BQ, but there's other ways that we often can measure races as well. And when we come through that phase, what does that look like for us? And it sounds like from you that it's in a lot of ways, it's the bad races that help to reinstill this idea within us. You know, you talk about coming off Eugene and, you know, what that meant for you, what it has meant for your training and how you've kind of gotten back on that. And now coming into Berlin, how it has impacted your training to get you to the starting line. And it's not that the BQ goal isn't there, but it's like the BQ plus, right? Mm-hmm. That's the goal. And the plus doesn't change, right? Because you're going to get in that race and things are going to feel really good or things are going to feel off and you're going to get there and things might be happening during the race. But at all points in time, you're thinking about that plus of what's going to be happening and how you're preparing for that. And so let's flash forward, right? You know, Ashley has crossed the finish line. She gets her medal. Gone through that Brandenburg gate, friends, that like just Google pictures of the Berlin Marathon finishing line. It's as beautiful as it was for those Paris Olympic finishers. But you're coming back home you know, what is the reception that you look to receive? Because we've already talked that, you know, the people who have been along with you for this journey, you know, aside from family, they're all coming with you, but a lot of the running community hasn't been there. And as we kind of return back to this running community aspect of it, you know, what does that reception look like for you? No matter the outcome, no matter what happens, what happens when you come back to that community?
I mean, they're already planning like Berlin celebrations when I get back. you know, they were, I think I'm really hard on myself about what happened with Eugene. I still had a very respectable time. It wasn't what I wanted.
Yeah.
But I think I put so much into, like, Eugene was only a race for me to try and BQ, and it shouldn't have been like that. It should, and I highly advise nobody to do that, because it took away all the joy.
Mm.
So I know no matter the outcome, when I come home from Eugene, my friends are gonna be like so incredibly proud of me. And that is like, that's something that's so cool. I already know, no matter what happens, that like I'm not worried about who I am as a runner or what happens next, because that part of it doesn't matter, right? It's like who you are each and every day that you show up and how you're supporting your other friends who are also working towards goals. Mm-hmm. And I had, you know, that after that really bad run I had, not last weekend, but the weekend before, you know, I had still hit some paces, but it felt so hard. And I had one of my friends reach out to me and say, think about how proud you would be for a friend that just completed that. Mm. And why don't you talk to yourself like that? And it would like kind of like blew my mind, because I was like, yeah, if one of my friends ran 19 miles in 78 degree weather with, you know, straight sun at the end and hit most paces, but didn't hit the last, but still completed it when it got really hard, I would be super freaking proud of them. So why am I not treating myself the same way? So yeah, I mean, long story short, I imagine that it's, yeah, no matter what, they're just going to be loving and kind, and I, my boys are going to forget about it in like 5 minutes.
Oh man. And it's amazing that you call it a celebration, and it's not like, oh, they're just going to have like a party for me when I get back, but it's going to be, you know, a celebration. I'm wondering how that makes you reflect on who you are in the midst of this community and what it means for you moving forward, because whether you qualify for Boston or not, you know, that they're still there. What does that mean when you're going forward and you're looking at new race goals, or you're looking at helping to support others? What does that mean for you?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's funny. Last night we were talking about like, well, you know, I have one friend who's like an incredibly fast runner and mom, and she does like all these strength things. She's just so cool. And she's doing like a high rocks race in the spring. And so we were like, wow, should we try that next? Or should we like, and it's, you know, these are friends that I've made through running, and I call them my running friends, but they're now my lifelong friends. Like, yes, we run and we talk about running all the time. And, you know, that's how we met, but now it's not just like, hey, like what's the next marathon that we're going to do? It's like, hey, when's the next time we can get dinner? Or hey, when's the, like, should we try this high rocks thing? Should we pair up? Should we be a team? Or should we think about an ultra next year? You know, that's what it's like now. And I think that's a really cool thing that you can, it doesn't just have to be a running bucket now.
And so you're moving forward, you know, going after Berlin, going after this BQ. You know, what are those hopes and dreams beyond that? But you're looking at this Austin community. You're looking at the community that you formed through your coach in New York. You're looking at all these different places. you know, what are your hopes? What are your dreams? What are you looking towards in all of this? Because you're building something that's going beyond yourself. You're building something that's not just about Ashley, but that has the potential for Ashley to do amazing things within it. What are your hopes?
Ooh, I haven't thought about this one. I hope to be running for as long as I can. I hope that I inspire my boys to run. And are we just talking about goals or like?
I mean, the one thing that I always love to hear is, you know, how has community, right? How has community impacted you?
Yeah.
And for you, community seems to have brought you to this place where there is a drive and a passion to keep on doing, not always like the next greatest thing, but like the next best thing for you. And so when we look at the landscape of our community, as we learn and grow together, you know, I think about what does that mean for the future of Ashley? And whether that means fast times, whether that means just enjoyable runs. You know, I often say it's like the day that I run sub 130 in the half marathon, like what's that going to mean for me? Am I going to want to go like sub 125? Or, you know, I'm also feeling this drive where it's just like, maybe my life isn't about personal bests anymore. Maybe it's about, you know, and so what is it about? What's my hope in my own running journey? But then also like, what's my hope for that running journey throughout the community too? Because part of that drive is I love the idea of running community so much that I don't want to forsake it. I don't want it to become all about me, but I want it to become about all of us together.
Yeah. Gosh, we talk about this all the time in our group. So since I came back to running, I have been training cycle after training cycle after training cycle after training cycle. And after Berlin, I do have New York, which is 5 weeks.
Friends, you will never hear me say that. You will never hear me say, oh, I'm running Berlin. And then 5 weeks later, I'm running New York. Rest assured, friends, Andrew's not running marathons.
I feel incredibly lucky to be doing these two. Like,
amazing. Yeah, that's an amazing. Oh, my gosh.
Really great opportunities. But I am so excited to, and it's funny, I started all of this with needing a goal, right? Needing something to work towards. And I think I'm still working towards something. And I think that's partially answering your question. But I am so excited to not have a marathon specific training block for a little bit. Unless I get into Tokyo, which that's a different story. Oh my gosh. I want to take the next few months to work on short speed. Which I haven't done before. It's like I said, I've just gone marathon block after marathon. So I want to try and see what I can do with like a 5K, like actually training for and racing a 5K and then do a 10K and then see where I go from there. You know, I have two friends doing the Hennepin 100 miler next fall. And I am so easily influenced. Like, I just want to hang out with my friends. And so there's a 50 miler that you can run like at the same time with the people who are doing the 100 miler. So I may be doing a 50. I may be an ultra marathon next fall. Who knows?
Oh, man.
But there are so many things that I want to do with running. And, you know, the community here, I don't know if you ever saw the flow sheet. There was a flow sheet that was spreading around recently of the Austin run groups. And it was like, we have like a million. That's how big the community is.
Oh my gosh.
And, you know, I think I get so much joy from being involved in that. Like on a Saturday long run, the amount of like smiles and waves that we're all getting because everybody knows each other. Like it's a big community, but it's a small community. And I don't want to ever lose that because there's so much joy in that. But I think, you know, I do want to be a 6-star finisher. So I eventually need to do Tokyo and Boston. And I love to travel and Paris is on the top of my list. Copenhagen is on the top of my list. I'd love to go to South America one day. So I don't see a future without running because I love it so much. And I think there are goals where I want to get faster, but I think it'll be nice to get the BQ under my belt, because then I know at that point, then I can be a 6-star finisher and then move on to the next goal. And I think it's good to have that, because I, you know, we put like this BQ on a pedestal, and you know, I've done it and a lot of runners do it, but there's so much more beyond a BQ. And I think when we get so involved in chasing just that goal, when you obtain it, it is almost like, what's next, you know? And there is a lot. And so, yeah, I'm excited to hopefully have a break, you know, and like chase other things. But yeah, I think running will always be there. And who knows, maybe I'll be a 5K runner for a little bit. But I'm probably going to do the 50 miler next fall.
And learning and growing and all of that is where the community is coming alongside you. Like, they're the ones who are pushing you along. They're the ones who are bringing you to it. And I think that's the awesome drive that we continue to experience, is that our hope is founded in where our community is bringing us towards and how they're, you know, impacting that journey. So let's jump into these end of podcast questions. Let's see. I sometimes like to think in my head based off the conversation what they might be. So, Ashley, what's your favorite distance to run?
Oh, okay. I really like the 400, like 400 meters.
Okay, that was completely not. Okay, that was way off. I was way off.
I would say, I guess if we're talking about like training and workouts, I love running the 400, and that's what I ran.
Okay.
But I like the marathon because it's hard. And this is going to make me sound like a jerk, but half marathons come very easy to me. Like, running 13 miles in my brain doesn't sound hard to me. And so a marathon, no matter what I do or how much I train for it and work towards it, every single time it's a different experience. Every single time I get something from it. Every single time I'm like, what could I have done differently? How can I get better the next time? Those last 6 miles are a different journey each time. And each time you come out of it wanting more. And I think that's an incredible thing from something that's so hard, if that makes sense. But for fun, the 400 for sure.
You know, I always ask them somewhat open-ended. That'll be kind of like this next one, but I never thought about it. What's my favorite distance to do for a workout? But that's always a nice one. So Ashley, what is your favorite thing to eat, drink, post-run, post-race, whatever? What are you going for?
Post-running?
Yeah.
Oh, chocolate milk.
Chocolate milk.
Chocolate milk. But if I don't have chocolate milk, I will always make a Juiceland order. And Juiceland is like a local smoothie shop here that is awesome. The Moon Tower is where it's at.
And
treats, I'm like a huge ice cream person.
There you go.
No shame in eating ice cream every night in a marathon training block.
That's a very milk-based diet. And lastly, Ashley, give our listeners a reason to join their local run club or run group.
Oh my gosh. If you, like, after listening to this, that doesn't drive you to your local run group. I mean, there's so much potential. If you're looking for something more or for a supportive community, like, don't be afraid. There's going to be a person there for everybody, even if it seems daunting. I couldn't even imagine where I'd be without the friends that I've made through running the past 2 years. So you just gotta go do it.
There you go. Well, friends, again, like, just like every episode, if this isn't getting you out to those groups, if this isn't encouraging you to go enjoy community, I'm struggling. I mean, I'm trying to get all these great guests on here. Thank you so much for joining, Ashley.
Thank you.
So yet again these just amazing, awesome stories of how the local community is building up, but it's not staying there. It is extending. We hear about Ashley's connections, not just in Austin, but in New York, all over the country. Her trying all of these great and amazing races, but also her learning from her journey and the way that the community that surrounds her helps her to learn. And you hear that she is in this space of not doing it alone. Even, you heard in the episode, she's going to be running Berlin. So a week from when this episode's coming out, she is going to be running Berlin. And Ashley, if you are listening to this, good luck. Have a great race. But she is saying she is not going to be on that course alone. Despite running by herself or even running with all these tens of thousands of runners, she is carrying her friends, her family, those who have been along the journey with her. And isn't that the great thing about community? Never being alone, always having those who can support us. And what an amazing story we have gotten to listen to today. So make sure you check out those links. Make sure you follow Ashley's journey. Let's give her some shout outs as she gets ready to go and do Berlin. Find her over on Instagram. Give her a shout out through the podcast. I invite you, please help to support this podcast. Make sure that you hit that follow or subscribe button so these episodes pop right into your feed. If you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, leave a review or a comment. I love to be able to read those, to see what y'all think about the podcast, to see how much y'all are enjoying the podcast. You know what? Be like my friend Chris Elliott and just look forward to that opportunity each and every week to just drop that comment in Spotify. Or if you're over on Apple, leave a review. You know, that's not like a weekly episodic thing, but it is something that you can leave there. And you know what? If you are looking for some way to help, some more way to help, I'm always looking for much more support. So if you want to head on over to buymeacoffee.com/runandrev, you can support me over there, drop a tip, become a monthly member. Any way you can support me. As you can see, I got a little fun going on there as I'm trying to help to cover some of these podcasting fees as I keep this show rolling. I'm going to put up some more stuff over there, and I'm even going to try and maybe even see if there's some way that I can add some incentives. And so if you have ideas for incentives for your support for being a patron for buying me coffee/beer or helping to support this podcast, you know, let me know what some things that you think would be good ideas for that support. How can I earn your support? I really would love to hear those things. You can send me a message at andrew@runandrev.com. So friends, oh, what a great episode. I hope that as you listen to this, you are just logging some of those great miles. And remember, as we go through our week, make every mile count.